Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor. I'm here today with Carol Ann Tutera, and she is a visionary wellness pioneer, entrepreneur, and CEO of Sotopelli, the revolutionary leader in hormone replacement therapy, known for her dynamic approach in holistic health and longevity. Carol Ann blends her science and her personal passion to empower individuals to live their best life. And she's here today to share the understanding of communication and connection. I'm so glad to have you here. Tell everybody a little about yourself and, what you've been doing and how you've become such a success, because people are gravitating to you, not just for your business success, but for the knowledge that you've been sharing. You talk about grief, you talk about joy, you talk about obtaining happiness in people's lives and the importance of communication and why all these things, bring joy and happiness into our lives. So can you share a little about yourself?
Don't know about a little because I've led a pretty big life. That's a loaded question. So I've had an interesting life, I will say that. I started out from graduating from college and went into teaching second and third graders, which I adored. I loved that time period in my life. Went through a divorce, came home, left the East Coast to go to Kansas City, which I'm honoring them with a t-shirt today because I'm going home to see my mom next week. I brought my son home. And we lived in Kansas City where I met my second husband, my late husband, who was an OB-GYN. We moved on to the West Coast out to the Palm Springs area in Rancho Mirage, where the therapy of using pellets he brought forward, which is why everybody's in the pellet industry. He truly is the genius behind all of why everyone's doing pellets because he individualized it. So I'm carrying on his legacy and making sure that it stands, that he's basically the guru, the godfather. Being Italian, he can claim being a godfather of pellet therapy. During that time, I was also attending school in Santa Monica for a master's in spiritual counseling and psychology. Excellent course. Just about done with a grief course with David Kessler. And, I just have to say I've been gifted with really a nice life. I have a sister who supports me in work, supports me in life, lives about a mile away. She's been a dream to have on my team. She really is the yin to my yang, I should say.
I love
So,
that.
yeah, it's been nice.
Why do you think effective communication is so important in maintaining a healthy relationship with both in your personal life and in your professional life?
I think in the business life, it's extremely important to be able to get your point across. That goes also in your personal life as well. But when you're not effectively communicating and you're passing back and forth so many emails just to get your answer, somewhere along the line in my life, I turned into a bottom line person. I just want the bottom line. Don't bother me with all the fluff that happens in between. I'm not that kind of person. And by the look on your face, I think you're the same one. Just give me the bottom line fact. It's frustrating for me and my personality because I tend to rev up and go so fast as a human in this body, which I'm working on slowing down and leaning into being more of the soul that's actually in the body. So I just want the answer. In my personal life, I really gravitate towards people where we talk about more spiritualness of life. And I'm finding it a challenge just to have conversations that are fluffy and marshmallowy and gooey. I need things that fulfill me as a person, and I'd like to get my point across. I love to write, and I think I write and express myself much better than I verbalize it. So I'm learning how to push that into my verbalness. If that's a word. But otherwise, if you choose not to communicate and you keep things in, boy, that bottle, you're going to explode at some point and it's going to come out to somebody who doesn't deserve the explosion, who just happens to be a bystander. So, and honestly, that happened right before I got on the call with you, which is why it took time talking to the bank. I have to explain myself to five different departments till they actually get me to the department. And I'm thinking, why am I in this department just to cancel a check? You're a deposit department. I don't understand the banking system. So I could feel myself amping up, and I had to really just lean back in and go, okay, I can handle this. I can do this. I don't need to be upset. I can handle this. And this happened to a friend of mine this morning I was talking to. He called in because he overpaid on a bill and he's trying to recoup the money back. And he said, I'm not getting upset. I'm staying very calm. I'm trying to get my money returned. He said, I can call you back as many times as I need to until you all understand you need to refund the money. So it's the communication is really broken down in our world, I personally think, due to social media. We scroll too much, we look too much, we observe too much. We're in everybody else's lives.
Yes, I agree 100%. I feel like, social media has really ruined the communication between individuals. People have lost the ability to communicate well with each other because they're constantly on their phones and the texting too. It's, where's the verbal communication? Picking up the phone or going to see the person or visually having a conversation with that individual. Those are important things that you need. You need those for a lot of different things in life. It helps you in your personal life and it helps you in your business life. And a lot of people don't know how to communicate well because they've been in this technology, using social media, using, texting as a tool. And in social media, people, like to really, blurt out things and say things to other people and sometimes verbalize in a not so nice way. But if they were in front of that person, boy, oh boy, would they keep their mouth shut because they
Right.
wouldn't have the courage to say it.
Right. Well, you take a look at the Musk and Trump. It's a fiasco what they did. They were second graders on the schoolyard kicking dirt at each other when it should never have gone out into the general public because personally it's none of our business. Why should we even think to care about how they feel about each other? I don't care. You know, you keep your rift. I think that's one thing my late husband taught me in the Italian world and the Jewish world too, is you don't air your laundry. You keep everything within the house. You don't let somebody else know that you're upset or you're angry with someone or you're feeling this way. It stays within your world. I think because also when we communicate by text, oh my God, the initials I've had to learn what they mean. And then it doesn't come through in texting like it does when you pick up the phone and talk to someone. Someone may take your text completely wrong. And then the next time you talk to them, you're angry at them because you think that's how they were sending a text. Oh, the mind loves to play games with us. It truly is amazing.
It really is.
This is a great story about the initials in texting. Is that a family member, maybe in her, she's in her 80s, so maybe in her late 70s, early 80s, was all excited. She learned how to text, and a friend had a husband had passed away, and she's texting, and she said, LOL. She thought it meant lots of love. Well, he passed. So she wrote lots of love instead of it meaning laugh out loud. And I unfortunately have learned how to use a lot of the letters instead of typing everything out. I've had to ask people, what are you saying? What am I saying? It's, yeah. So the whole thing really, it's just our life has slipped sideways. It truly, truly has.
It really has. What inspired you to focus your world, your work on improving communication and connection between people?
What inspired me? What?
To focus your work on
Oh,
improving
focus
communication.
my work. Because I think it's important to talk to each other. I really just, you look around, you go to dinner, and everybody's on a phone. I just got back from a cruise, and you look at people in the room, and majority of them are on the phone. You're out in a beautiful ocean. Look outside the window. Talk to the people you're sitting with. Talk to the people who are sitting next to you. I met some fascinating people when I was at the table who were sitting next to me. I tell everybody, less is not more when you communicate sometimes. More is more. Because then, if I can come back with a question, you haven't satisfied my initial question and you think you've answered it.
It's so true. If people just, can put down their phones, especially around dinner time and when you're having meals, because a lot of times it's really disrespectful. And we're all cultured, of it too. You pick up the phone, during while you're eating and you're looking, who's texting me and, and looking at something. We really shouldn't be doing that. We should be, focusing on the people around us and the things we could learn from others, and just enjoying, our time with people, even like on a cruise when you don't know the person and you start to know the person and they may ha say something funny or something that might bring you joy. Would you get that if you're, involved on your texts? Those texts aren't going away. So why are we so addicted to have to consistently look who's texting me? Who's doing this? Who's doing
It's the
that?
algorithms.
Yeah, 100%,
Now,
100%.
watch the social media show that came out a couple of years ago on Netflix. It's
Oh, really?
frightening. It's scary how addicted they've turned us into looking at the phone as an addiction.
Yeah, I believe it is addiction. You see how people can't put their phone down. I used to put my phone down and I used to walk around the house and do my thing. And my husband would be like, why are you putting your phone down? Someone could be calling you. I'm like, well, if it's important, they'll leave a message and I'll call them back,
That's right, because what happened before we had phones? You had to leave a message. We were all excited to come home to a little beeping light on a message machine. You had a lot of fun trying to be creative on what I could say, how to leave a message. That was just a whole nother world that this generation coming up in their, what, 30s, I think maybe some in the 40s might remember, but 30s down, they have no idea. They don't know what a rotary phone is. They don't know what a push button phone nut is. They didn't know we had to actually get up and change the tuner, the dial on the TV. Your parent would send an extra child up to the TV, change the channel for me. I think that's why they had lots of kids back then. So we each had turns to change the channel.
My parents still have that 40-foot cord and that telephone in their kitchen. When you go to their house, it's hysterical.
See? I think it was great. And you walked around holding a phone connected to a wall, but you could be three rooms over because the houses back then weren't that big anyway, but the cord was just that long. Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice. It really was. Now, in today's fast-paced world, how do you believe technology has affected our ability to communicate in with meaningful, meaningfully with people? I know we started just talking about this, but what are some of the things that you see are taken away from this new generation? Because this new generation does not think and function like we do. We came from a different generation. What do you believe, how technology has really affected us?
Oh, like I said earlier, I think it's taken away from the face-to-face, the verbal communication in a disheartening fashion. I really do. You could be able to speak to someone, see their face, and read the verbal cues. You don't have cues anymore. You
No.
can't pick them up through texting.
No.
So I think it's done a big disservice in talking. You walk around any street, and 9 times out of 10, the heads are down like this. They're looking at the phone.
Yeah.
And I always have to tell somebody, heads up. I'm walking at you.
Right. Exactly. No, it's like you said, it's an addiction, and and it's very hard for people sometimes now to even communicate well with other individuals and to really be able to have a meaningful conversations. You can't have a meaningful conversation through text, and it's sad how technology has taken a lot of that away. I feel sometimes like we're going
Oh,
to a robotic
I'll give
lifestyle.
you a really good example how technology has really come into focus. Google has introduced Gemini now into Gmail. And this morning I sent an email to somebody and they wrote back. And then I noticed I had the pop-up to swipe here and we'll help you write. I typed in one sentence and I got this full paragraph back. This person writes back, "Oh, so nice to see you're back in your element of your writing skills." But not only did they really did Gemini do a beautiful job at writing it, but it must have read my email prior to be able to pull that information in. So that is both a positive and a negative. It's like you don't have to think anymore. Gemini's going to do it for you. All I have to say is, I don't feel well, and it'll go off into a triad of information as to why you don't feel well. Or I think this is a beautiful painting and it'll expand on it. So we won't be able to, we won't have the need to communicate anymore. We will lose our voice box, I feel.
I think so. I definitely think so. And if we don't use our skills, we lose them. So, a lot of the skills that we developed, I think are going to go downhill because, we've already went from an eighth grade level to a sixth grade level, and it's because we're not utilizing the tools in our brain that we've acquired throughout our lifetime. We had to really learn and use our cognitive skills and use different parts of our brain where you don't have to do that anymore because you have a little machine that's doing it for you.
That's right. We are numb to the world anymore. War does not affect us. Violence does not affect us because we're seeing it so many times through the day that the communication is going to completely go bye-bye. It honestly will. I think the AI is taking, it's got a positive and a negative. And I fear the negative is people are going to lose tremendous amount of jobs. And all I could see is the Mad Max scenes running through my head at that point. And you'll lose your voice because you'll realize, oh, I don't have to talk. He can do it for me. Why
There's been so
bother?
many times I've been, wanting to talk to a human, and you call up and you're on there for about 45 minutes just trying to get a human, and sometimes you don't succeed, and it's very frustrating. They have all these buttons to push and they have automated answers, but sometimes you have important questions that need to be addressed and things that need to be done that a machine can't do for you. And so it really is very frustrating.
Doesn't mean the person's going to do it for you either, though, now.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That's what I'm finding out, too. They may have said, I'll take care of this, I can do this, and you find out a week later, they didn't care. What do they care? They're just a cog in the wheel of all these people, and I can hang up on you. It doesn't matter because we know you'll call back in. Oh, it's a shame.
It's so true. Now, what are some of the common mistakes people make when communicating, and how can they avoid them?
The first big mistake is they don't really share who they are. You don't share honestly from the heart. Sometimes anger will get in the way. You'll try and blame and play the blame game, or what if, or I should have, or if only. So we have to learn how to really use the I statements. I feel, I felt this way when. And not blame. I think that's the biggest issue we face.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I think a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for themselves because and try to put the finger on other people when it's not, always the other person. A lot of times it's the person within, and it's us, and we're the ones that need to do a little tuning up, fine tuning to ourselves. To take the easy way out, it's easier to just try to put the blame and be in denial and not have to deal with, the
That's
mistakes.
right. Totally agree. And I think it's also just really easy to say, you know what, you're right. Because that diffuses any anger, upsetness, blaming from the other person if you just say, you're right.
So true.
And you move on. It literally dissolves the energy of the conversation right then and there because there's no response that can come back. They were hoping you would engage in their battle.
Yes, so
Straight
true.
up.
It's so true. And how can people better express their emotions without the fear of just judgment or conflict?
Takes a lot of practice. And I think the best way to start is doing mirror work. Stand in front of a mirror, start practicing statements, start practicing saying, I feel, I'm hurt, I'm something, instead of the blaming. So the mirror work is really important to do. Write it out if you have to first. And then you've got some bullet points to follow along on your conversation. If you can't do it in person, pick up the phone and call them, because then you'll have your written out statements right there in front of you. It's always a good way to do it too.
It's so true. It's so true. What are some of the things when you talk about the mirror statements? Like, can you go a little bit deeper for people who don't understand what the mirror statements are?
You stand in front of a mirror, and it really takes a lot of self-worth to look in the mirror and look at yourself. And that's also a good time to start practicing affirmations. I am strong. I am healthy. I am a vital person. I am worthy. And start pulling in things that are important to you about your being, and you put them in the positive. I am. You practice that and say those time and time again. It gives you that inner strength. That core is what you're developing. You know, we build up our physical muscles. We don't build up our inner core strength muscles. Start with that. I am a good person. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of someone loving me. I am worthy of being respected at work. If you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it about you, because that's what you're energetically putting out, whether you realize it or not.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. Now, what role does vulnerability play in building stronger personal connections, and how can someone learn to embrace it?
Again, I'd go to the mirror work and stand there, because, boy, I tell you, that really strips you down to your core when you really start being vulnerable with yourself. When you do it with somebody else, you'll be really shocked and amazed at when you truly open up your core essence to someone of how you're feeling, how they let their guard down too, because they're mirroring and projecting back what you're doing. The whole dynamic of the relationship changes when you are truly open and honest with someone. Gives them the space to be open and honest with you as well. It's a beautiful exercise to practice. Practice it with a dear friend. You know, I had this experience and I really want to share how I'm feeling about it. I always tell people, I just need you to listen. That's the first thing I start with. Just listen to me. I don't want you to fix it. I don't want advice. I just need to be heard. And that's the big thing I've learned through the grief class, is that when somebody's going through grief, we all want to be heard. We all need to share our story. Bottom line is, we as humans want to be heard as much as possible. That's
It's so
it. Whether you're in love, in grief, in happiness, joy, sadness, you just want to share. Just like you had show and tell in grade school. You got that 5 minutes to stand up and share something. We don't have that anymore.
No, we don't. I know
Gone.
when my aunt was dying, and I used to go see her, and she was upset one day because she called somebody and she just wanted to be heard. She just wanted someone to listen to her. And instead of the person listening to her, the person overrided her and always turned the conversation about themselves. And when I got home, like when I got to her home, she was very upset. And I asked her why she was upset. And I just listened. And then she went in and she talked more deeper about what she really wanted to talk about. But she didn't want any opinions. She didn't want comments. She just needed to get those emotions out. She just needed to verbalize how she was feeling, and she just wanted someone there that she knew cared just to listen quietly and just to be that silent partner, just looking at her and showing empathy and just be there.
Yeah, just hear me. That's all we want.
Yeah. I think sometimes in our society, people feel like they need to give their opinion. They need to, but people don't want your opinion all the time. People, if
Right.
they want your opinion, I always say it took me time to learn this, but people want your opinion, they'll ask for it. If they don't ask for it, they just want you to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how can someone learn to be a better listener in their relationships? Do you have any tips or exercises to improve this skill?
Close the mouth. You've got two of these and one of those for a reason.
Yeah.
It takes practice. So when you ask somebody a question, you're already trying to decide what the answer is going to be
Yeah.
before they've even answered it, because I'm very good at that.
Yeah.
You really have to practice hearing what they say, and then a good tool to see if you're really practicing it is give back what you heard. So what I heard you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, and that's one way you can tell if you're truly listening.
Right. Yes, that's a good way. That's a very good way. And it takes time and practice. And I got to tell you, even just being a podcaster has helped me with that skill because I was no longer, I was always a chitter chatter. And when I got excited, I just naturally talked. I didn't want to be rude, but I would get like, oh, I can relate to you. And I get,
Right,
really
see?
excited. But then I had to learn to refrain and just be a good listener. And that's, I think it takes everybody practice. Now, when it comes to, what are some practical steps people can take forward to communicate more clearly and avoid misunderstanding? Because a lot of times we misunderstand what the other person is trying to get across.
Are you really misunderstanding it? Or are you hoping they're saying it the way you want to hear it? So
Yes.
we've already judged how they're going to say something to us, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to take a breath, step back, and listen. Don't respond right away, which is the tendency we all do, because as you just said, we got to jump in and be a part of this conversation so badly. Don't react. Listen, what did I hear them say?
Right. That's so true. How do you recommend addressing conflict? In relationships without escalating to tension.
Oh, I believe in timeout, big time. I really, really do. You get nowhere when the conversation's going like this. Absolutely. No, you need a timeout. You need to go take a walk. You need to move that energy into another area. Think it through, write it down. What am I really wanting here? What do they need? You've got to think about the common ground. Listen, and sometimes if it's so bad, you really need a neutral observer. You need that therapist to help you solve what you're trying to get to. But that's a big question with a lot of ways you can go with that for answers.
Because I think for a lot of people, that I know, especially one person that I'm thinking about, if when I would have a difference of opinion, I would immediately need to walk away and just have time out. The other person, would want to solve the issue right away. Did not like confrontation. It had to be solved right then and there. But I was not at that point yet to solve the problem. I was still trying to absorb what just happened, what was just said, and I kind of had to go from being where my cherry was just about to pop back to the level of calmness, And sometimes people, not everybody knows how to do that, but then we have to just keep repeating, I need time for myself. I need time for myself until that person absorbs it, and somehow you just have to just walk away from it silently.
That's right. That's absolutely right. They need to respect your wishes of what you're trying to process at that moment, just as much as you're respecting their needs. I
Yeah.
understand you want to solve this now, but for me, this is what I need. And I need you to hear this is what I have to do for me right now so I can process this.
Right, exactly. Now, what are some of the best ways to rebuild trust when communication has broken down in a relationship?
That's a tough one. I mean, honestly, you lose somebody's trust, it takes a while. I don't know too many people who jump right back in. It's baby steps. It truly is baby steps. And then you have to wonder, in the back of your mind, you're always going, can I really trust them? Do I really trust them? So it's not an overnight quick fix. There are really no steps to that. I'm a believer in watching and observing people instead of words. Anybody can jammer. Everybody has the gift of gab. It's the actions that mean a lot more. And it's got to be built up over time.
I'm the same way. I've learned over the years to not l listen so much to the person what they say, but to l listen, but yet look at their body language when they're saying it, and look how they're reacting when they're saying it, because you could tell a lot. Yeah, I was, you know, for me, I could tell a lot by just looking through a person's eyes, and you could tell, you know, you couldn't, you could, and then you know, you look at other parts of the body how they're moving, but for me, the eyes say it all. For you know, I feel like eyes really speak. But when it comes to like building trust, I feel like also that's a very hard, you know, topic to really rebuild that relationship, because that wall comes up because you've been hurt once. Are you ever going to be hurt again? Are they going to, you know, are they going to backstab you somehow the way they did previously? You know, are they going to do what they did again? You know, you don't know. You're taking a chance, like you're going to a casino and throwing the dice.
Well, that's where vulnerability comes in. That's where your trust in yourself and loving yourself comes in. And you have to decide whether this is a relationship you can move forward with or not.
Exactly. Now, how do you approach situations where one person is less open to communicating than the other?
You have to find their love language, actually. And if they're not a communicator, they're able to express their communication in another form. So it takes time. It really, and you have to be a good example for them. I observe people really well. So that's my language. I observe, and then I'm able to put it in my own words and share back. So it You've got to find, what they're comfortable with. You can't push someone to communicate either. They either want to or they don't. And when they're ready, they will. And you have to be accepting of that.
I feel sometimes you want to help someone so much, you know, and you want to be able to communicate with that person. But if that person doesn't want to communicate, it's like you could see it going through one ear out the other when you speak to them. So you just have to just back away and just, you know, there you have to let them make their own decisions. If this is what they want, then, you know, so be it. If this is the level that you want to take your friendship or your problem or whatever, you know, if someone's not going to be open to communication, then there's nothing you can do. You know, it's up to the person. Now, how can practicing gratitude help improve communications and strengths within relationships?
Gratitude is something that's in our lives daily. So I think the more that you're grateful for just even waking up and being here, the more that you're grateful for who you are, what you have, what you focus on, the positive things in your life, it spills over into everything. Because that's the part of your being, that's your heart, that's your soul, that really will start to shine through the more grateful you are. That part of you really comes through big time.
It really does. It really does. Now, what are some of the daily habits people can incorporate to feel more connected to their loved ones and their social circle?
I think it's important you start really communicating from your heart. Talk about how you're feeling, how are you doing, and then ask them the questions and actively listen. Don't pick up your phone while they're talking. Don't get distracted by a ding or a dong. Turn your sounds off when you're with, people you want to be with. I think that's important to do.
That's so true. Now, what are some of the what piece of advice would you give to somebody who wants to deepen their relationship but doesn't know where to begin?
They want what?
So, what piece of advice would you give to somebody who wants to deepen their relationships but doesn't know where to begin?
I don't, for me personally, I'm not a trained therapist. I don't, I need to put it out there. For me personally, it's actually about looking within. Because if I don't know who I am, I cannot be in a relationship fully of myself and expect them to be in the relationship as well.
I agree.
You've got to know who you are and what you want. Absolutely.
And sometimes I feel people think they know who they are, but from my perspective, outside the box, I could see that they really don't know who they are. They perceive themselves as someone they want to be, but they're not exactly who they interpret themselves as. And they may not do it on purpose, but they have a different perception of themselves than what they're displaying to the outside world.
Absolutely. We project what we think you want us to be. That's a lot of work all day long trying to project a different personality to all the different people in our lives. That's a lot of energy, a lot.
That is a lot of energy. Now, from everything we talked about today, what are some things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners that you feel would be really helpful about communication and relationships?
Listen. Actually, honestly, deeply listen. That's important. It truly is. And when they say something, and even if you don't understand it, it's okay to say, "Can you repeat that? I don't understand." I'm not getting the meaning. If somebody wants to carry a conversation on through text, it's not comfortable for you, pick up the phone and call them. Pick up the phone and just call your friends you haven't talked to in a while. That's how you build relationships verbally, not through text, not through sharing pictures on social media. Be present. Be all in when you're with someone. Don't just put in your toe and say, "Oh, okay, I'm here," and then go, "Ah," on your phone, which I'm guilty of too.
Think we all are at some point. Definitely. Well, Carolyn, this has been wonderful. If people wanted to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
The best place to find me is through our contact us on our Sotopelli website, which is S as in Sam, OTTO, P as in Peter, ELLE therapy.com. And it comes right into the response folder, which I'm able to see.
Wonderful. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And Carol Ann has her own podcast on our show, and she does weekly sessions where she comes in and talks about meaningful topics to help us improve our lives and to overcome grief and to bring joy and happiness into our lives and learn how to live a fulfilling life to our full potential. Thank you so much, Carol Ann, for being here. And I love when you come
Thank
on. You bring
you.
my life. So just want to let you know that. And I look forward to our next episode together, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.